thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. Now, when we look at this, we got to understand that it was a blessing because, first of all, Bartimaeus was blind, but then God gave him his sight because of his faith. He received by faith. And when we understand that no matter what predicament and problem you may have and situation you find yourself in, if you can't see your way, you have to keep your faith. Because faith will get you what you can't see can't get you. Amen? Well, I may not be able to see like I want to, but if I have faith in God, then he'll clear up the matter. Here it is, a blind man with 20/20 vision. Oh, come on and say amen. A blind man who couldn't see Jesus, but he was able with his faith to see him. He was able to see himself healed. He was able to see Jesus doing the healing. I wish I had somebody. You got to understand something. You got to see stuff. You got to be able to have faith in God that he can do stuff that you can't do yourself.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, get your Bibles. Stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for the time of hearing your word, to hear what you have to say to us. Meet us in the text, tailor the truth we're teaching that every hearer's heart. Might not only hear but heed what you have to say. As we give you glory, praise, and honor, in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Beginning at verse 1, recorded are these words. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that the days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. But just a little while, I won't speak from the subject. Daddy, do your part. Daddy, do your part. As we walk through this word today, there are many other scriptures we're going to visit for the understanding that I believe is necessary to know the responsibility that God gives to fathers, to those whom he has called the head of the house, the one he has made accountable and responsible as the authority figure that he himself speaks directly to. When we look at Adam and again Eve, though they were one, God made the man the head, made him the leader, made him the authoritative figure that God would operate with and to whom God would speak and give commandments to. It was then his responsibility to then give those or pass them down to Eve and then later the family. One of the things that you will recognize is the fact that God has not changed his mind. He has not changed his methods. And God has still made the father the head and have given him the responsibility as the one that will answer to God. It's important to recognize that even in the structure of the Old Testament, how God so honored the role of fathers and head of households that he operated in that same vein as it related to giving commandments to the man who was then responsible for giving them to his household. And that's why you'll see as he's speaking to Israel about keeping the commandments, it is clear that this word is given to the husband or to the head of household to make sure that it is passed on down the line to those who resided under his roof. Now again, what is important about that is to establish the fact that God has given man a place of honor, a place of respect, a place of rule, and a place of reign, but it also carries with it its responsibilities. You got a whole lot of folk who want to be the head, but they don't want to pay the price to be the head. Or as the saying of the world used to be, if you want to be the boss, yeah, you got to pay the cost. And you got a whole lot of folk who want to say they're the boss, but don't want to take the role and responsibility of the boss. And so when we look at this word and we go into it, we'll discover again that he makes clear that his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and all of these things that he gives to Israel to follow so that they might be blessed and their lives prolonged in the earth realm. But notice here, it is in regard and respect to the place of blessings that he's bringing them to. What that says to me is, and it should say to all of the men who desire to be husbands and fathers, is you ought to start learning how to be one before you become one.
See, you don't just wake up one day and you got married and you are a husband and a ruler and the one that God has given this responsibility to without counting up the cost. Because here's the truth. Whether you function and flow under that guideline, you're still responsible for it. You don't just wake up one day and you become a father just because a child is born. You've got to recognize that there are responsibilities connected with fatherhood. So one of the things that we will note as we walk through the word, that parents, and especially the father, the head of the household for sure, is responsible for provisions. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 tells us the first duty of parents is to provide food and clothing and shelter. If you would go into 1 Timothy, I want you to turn there right quick so you can see it in the word for yourself. Understand it so that when you operate, you'll know that God knows that you know what you should be doing, whether you do it or not. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Look at what it says. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. God says, if any of you are here trying to act like you're a Christian man, and you don't provide food, clothing, shelter, and protection for your own family, he says, you're worse than a fool. You have denied the faith, and you're shucking and jiving. He's talking to the church here. Notice again, because when he says you've denied the faith, it literally means he's talking to men of the church. Now, it's one thing for a man out in the world to act like that, but it's a whole nother thing for a man who says he loves the Lord, he belongs to the Lord, he's a Christian man, not to provide for his own family. So the first thing I think you need to understand is that if you are the head of the house, if you are the father, if you are the husband, if you are the leader God wants you to be, then that means the first thing you need to be concerned about is providing. Somebody say providing. Providing. Now, providing might not seem like a big thing, especially when you're in love. Because you know some of you young folk get married and you ain't got no idea what it takes to be married. You know, it's fun when you live in mama house and he lives in his mama house and y'all court and date, but you want to get married, but daddy got to pay for the wedding and mama and them got to give in and put in and fill in and try and help you get an apartment, and you can't even get it in your name because you either don't have credit or it's bad credit, or they got to sign for the credit to get you in there. Don't have no money saved up, don't have nothing to provide for nothing, got to borrow for the deposits and all of that, but yet you in love and don't understand that with love comes responsibility. And providing, men, is your responsibility. Look at the paradigm set in the Word of God. Before God ever gave Adam a wife, he gave Adam responsibility. Before God ever gave Adam a wife, he made sure that he knew how to handle his business. Before he ever gave Adam a wife, he made sure that Adam had a paradise to bring her into. And so I like to tell young ladies, don't be foolish, darling. Listen at this. If he really loves you, then he ought to have a place provided for you when he says, I do. That's why they don't say, I do no more. We say, I will. Y'all catch that on your way home, man. That's because you ain't got nothing right now to say, I do, but you say, I will. And what you need to understand is that when you don't put things in perspective, you put a burden on a relationship that ought not be there. When a brother gets ready to say he's ready for that role and that responsibility, he ought to have a bank account. When a brother gets ready to have that role and responsibility, he ought to have his own transportation. It don't have to be a BMW, but he ought to be a BMW. A black man working. He ought to have things so that when he says, I do, you got a place to call your own to come home to. And so provision is so important according to the word of God. When Eve knew anything, she woke up in paradise. And here was the commandment, be fruitful. Well, you can have babies if you can take care of babies. And multiply. In other words, baby, look at all we got. Now all we got to do is expand on what I've already got for us here. That was all they were supposed to do. But how can you expand on something you ain't got? Nothing from nothing leave nothing. I know you heard it. It ain't a gospel song, but it is gospel. Gotta have. It ain't got to be a whole lot, but it ought at least be. Oh, y'all know the song now. Now look at what he said, if you won't be with me. And so you got to realize, my brothers and sisters, especially the men, the young men, having many times the father role absent in our lives, not having one to mentor us, not having one to show us, not having one to provide a paradigm, an example for us, have got to seek out those who are godly men who have that kind of example, who have that kind of walk, who know what it takes to make a family and be a father. We need to seek those kind of men out so that we can make the best provisions for our own family. But not only that, not only must the parent and especially the father provide for his family, but they must be parents that practice good rules of order that come from the word of God. In other words, they've got to learn how to teach, and that's where we started here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 here, where God is telling them through Moses, listen, you got to learn these things before you go in the promised land. You got to learn how to operate. You got to learn who you are and whose you are before you go into the place of blessings. You have got to be who you already are in God when you possess the land. In other words, there ought to be some training, there ought to be some developing, there ought to be some preparation so that when a union is formed or you go into the blessed land, you will know how to act. You'll know what you're looking for. You'll know how to operate. You'll know how to be the best that you can be. And too many times, we wait until we become what it is that we ought to be before we even begin to learn about what it takes to become it. And so he says first that parents, especially men, ought to learn how to teach. But not only should they learn how to teach, the word is clear that they ought to learn how to train. Proverbs 22 and 6. Because remember it says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he grows older, he will not depart from that training, from that experience. This word train is also connected with those who actually trained animals and those who were used to training athletes and those kinds of persons and animals. Why? Because it took a deep commitment to training. It had to be an involvement in the process of training. It had to be example setting. It had to be a part of a knowledge base that the trainer had, first in knowing the animal or the athlete, and secondly, knowing how to produce the best out of that animal or that athlete. And what's important is this: a good trainer knows what you're capable of. A good trainer knows what your potentials are. And whether you were talking about training an athlete or whether you were talking about training an animal, once you had a personal relationship with either one, you discovered through communication and through fellowship and through exercise and through that being close with one another, what those capabilities were. And based on that knowledge, you would begin to implement a regimen, a plan. You begin to set goals so as to bring out the fullest development of them. And once they had become fully trained, listen to this, they could go through the process without having to have a trainer always. See, once you learn the correct form of how to do an exercise, once you have been taught properly what the technique is, and most of us who know and have had trainers know that it's not about the weight always, but about the technique, about the execution of how you perform that exercise that gives you the greatest value or benefit from it. And once you learn that, you no longer need the trainer. When you've been fully trained, know what muscle group to work, know what workout goes best with that muscle group. Once you've gotten all of that knowledge, you don't need the trainer because you won't depart from that training. And so it is where the parents are told to train up a child in the way he should go. And when that child grows older, it will not depart from that training. Why? Because it becomes a part of that child. It is instilled in that child. It's a part of them. That's what they know. Children learn what they live. So many times people don't understand in the family, especially fathers, how this role God gives to you, whatever the children are, the husband, the father, is the sole person that God holds responsible for that outcome. It is for him to provide the training. It is him to provide the textbook. It is him who should provide the techniques. And all of that should follow his lead. So oftentimes in our days and in our homes, there is no presence of a father. And even where there is, many times he is not the spiritual father. The wife, the mother, is the stronger one. And this is far from the word of God, of how it ought to be. The wife should look up to her husband, get her strength, get her focus, get her sustenance from the husband. He is the one who is to be the leader of that family, knowing the word, spending time in that word, because here's what you need to know. God's going to give that word to the husband. Fathers, it's important for you to recognize that God is holding you responsible for what goes on in your house. No wonder Joshua said in the 24th chapter, the 15th verse, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't have to take no vote. He was the spiritual head. Wasn't no argument with Sister Joshua. He walked before her, talked before her. He didn't cuss Sister Joshua out and treat Sister Joshua as if she was some low-lying to him. He treated her with love and respect, and she had no problem following him. So whatever Joshua said, Sister Joshua said, amen, baby. And see, when you live in such a way as to be able to make a call and don't have to second guess whether or not your wife is going to follow you, because you are the spiritual head and you walk before and talk before and live before in such a way that she knows you hear from God, then you don't have issues with that. Matter of fact, if she know you the head, the children going to know you the head. You got some children right now, the dad to speak, I'm going to tell mama. And do what? No. That means he ain't doing his job. He ain't on his job. And listen, they have more respect and love and honor for mama than they do him. Can I tell you, you got to be home to raise your child. Can't be out there with the homies hanging out, playing basketball, out there in the clubs, out there doing this and all that. No, you got to be there to be the example, to train. You can't train remotely. And So it's an awesome responsibility, and too many times we take it without realizing how much is connected with that. Because again, while it is a tag team partnership between husband and father doing it, the responsibility and the accountability is on the father. And when he has his house in order, if the children act like they won't obey mama, mama say, I tell you what, you wait till your daddy get home. But you know, right now we can't say you wait till daddy get home, because they don't know if daddy's coming home, or when he's coming home, or what state he's going to be in when he comes home. And so my brothers and sisters, again, know God's word has given us clear direction. But also Ephesians 6:4 tells us not only should we know how to teach and train, but we also need to control our tempers. See, men, you got to know you ain't no real man smacking no wife and children around like you done lost your mind. You're the head. That doesn't mean that you can treat them with disrespect. The word is very clear. When you go there, you're going to see that there is a command and a call to fathers to make sure they learn how to temper themselves. Why is that so important? Because what they don't understand, what they do, so will the children do. They see you acting a fool, guess what? They're going to act a fool. They see you cursing and carrying on, fighting, guess what they're going to do? See, young men, what you don't realize is the way your boys see you treating your wife is the way they think wives and women ought to be treated. And if you don't have boys and got girls, when they see you treating mama like that, they're going to think that that's the way men treat women. Be careful of how you handle. Look at what, again, Ephesians 6:4 says. And ye fathers, notice it doesn't say mothers here. It's taking it back to the head, taking it back to the father, putting the responsibility on the husbands. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that means you need to learn how to operate with a controlled temper. See, you can't just, when they make you mad, you just go off the handle and just grab them, shake them. You can't do all that kind of stuff. If you have lost your wits in at that point, you need to back away. You need to say, we're going to revisit this, not now. And you need to calm down, because you don't know your strength. You don't know the power that you have, especially when you are angry. And you can do irreparable damage to that child by grabbing them, hitting them, slapping them, handling them, saying things to them. See, because when you're angry, you can curse them out. That hurts worse than a lick. You've got to be careful that the words you speak out of your mouth have repercussions, that they have an effect on your children. When you're mad with them and want to call them some words that aren't in the Word of God, check yourself. Fathers, check yourself. In the home, you are the head, the authority. If you say it and do it, then what you have said is it's all right to be said and done. But you keep yourself with an even temper. And then when you come back, you say, now let's revisit this situation. And you've got a cool head now. And it doesn't mean that you don't spank them, or you don't chastise them, or you don't discipline them, or you don't correct them. But it simply means now you do it with an even temper. You're not fighting, and you're not hitting, and you're not harming them almost unto death. But you're correctly administering the right dose of correction to the problem. That's what the Bible says, that fathers ought to understand that they have the power to provoke their children to wrath. They can stay on them so hard that the very thing that they're trying to get them to do will be the very opposite thing that they do. You see, because in an even tone temper, when you're making a correction, one of the things that you do as a part of the correction is explain to them why you don't want them doing what they've done. How the end will be as an end result to what they are doing. You've been there, done that. You've seen life. You know what life is all about. You're not just whipping them to be whipping crazy, but you're applying the correct and proper measure.